Joining us again here on AOA for conversation, USDA's Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs, Luke Lindberg. Luke, welcome back to the show, sir. Hope all is well.
Jesse, great to be on with you again. Thanks for having me.
You bet. You bet. I know you've been doing some traveling in Nebraska and Iowa here in recent days, meeting with producers and commodity leaders there across the Midwest, and obviously talking trade policy and more. Let's dive in on some of this and talk about, you know, some of USDA's trade agenda here that we've been discussing in past conversations, expanding markets for things like corn, beef, and other key items that I know are near and dear to folks there in the Western Corn Belt, Luke.
Yeah, Jesse, it's great to be back in the heartland, meeting with folks and hearing the stories. You know, I've heard a couple of great stories this week I'd love to share with you. One is we visited Greater Omaha Packing in Omaha, great beef production facility, and the first beef producer to get their beef into the United Kingdom following President Trump's historic UK-US prosperity agreement that increased our beef access 13-fold into the United Kingdom. Really a historical milestone there. Folks have been talking about getting beef access in the United Kingdom for decades, and President Trump got it done, and it was great to be on the processing floor in Omaha, hearing their stories and seeing how that's going to provide real dollars back to folks and beef producers in Nebraska. And the other story that really struck me this week is up here in Iowa, we visited AGP, and they're a terrific soybean crush plant here in Iowa. And, you know, they shared with me that since President Trump's announcement of a very supportive RVO announcement just a few weeks ago, they're already seeing demand pick up for biodiesel and increasing their ability to crush here in Iowa soybeans, which then translates into more meal export opportunities. And just next week, we have a trade mission going to the Philippines, and AGP is sending a lot of meal from the upper Midwest to the Philippines and are looking to expand that business even further. So a couple of great wins here we're hearing from the folks here in the heartland.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and I know you've been extremely busy, of course, various trade missions and working not only here at home, but around the world. And it's cool to hear some of those stories you mentioned. And you brought up the UK deal. I know as well, recently, a Vietnam trade mission. Talk about some of what you heard there and some of the maybe excitement surrounding some advancements in our trade relationship with Vietnam.
Our relationship with Vietnam has been unfortunately one-sided for far too long. So President Trump has taken a keen interest in righting that ship a bit. You know, we have a $200 billion a year trade deficit across our two economies with the Vietnamese, and they're ready to start buying more American products to help balance that trade. And one of the areas that they are making aggressive strides in is buying more American agriculture to help fix that trade deficit that exists. We saw under President Trump's leadership this past year, record exports of cotton, tree nuts, corn, wheat, all going into Vietnam. They've recently agreed to and are working hard to implement by the end of this month, actually, an E10 blending mandate nationwide there. And the trade minister, when I was there, mentioned they're looking already at an E20 blend mandate, of which they'd be getting a lot of ethanol from the United States. So we're making progress. Again, the president believes in balanced trade, and that's one market where it's been unbalanced for far too long.
We're talking with USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Ag Affairs, Luke Lindberg. And I'm going to step into the consumer lens for just a moment, because I think this is a little more geared to consumers versus our ag producers listening into the show. But, you know, there was a lot of talk about ag prices and affordability there. And there's obviously been a lot of talk about, you know, certain costs at the grocery store from the consumer level. And they maybe sometimes pass that buck to the farmer and the rancher and think it's their fault, et cetera, et cetera. But we know it's a lot of other factors at play. So maybe what are some things you're hearing in your travels regarding some of these costs, you know, like egg prices and affordability or other products at the store? I mean, Talk about some of that and maybe what you've been hearing in your recent travels, Luke.
Yeah, we are certainly very committed to making sure that grocery store shelf price is reasonable and affordable for the average consumer. We also want farmers to win, and we believe there is a way to do both at the same time. Unfortunately, our farmers have faced significant cost increases for many years on inputs like fertilizers that really we should have gotten ahead of earlier on. And earlier, you know, just last month, the Department of Justice launched an investigation into some of the fertilizer companies on monopolistic behaviors and things. And we've done the similar efforts for meatpacking companies just to make sure that our farmers are getting their fair share of the dollar that's spent at the grocery store. So things like egg prices, as you mentioned, down 80% from when President Trump took office, and we began to steer the ship after President Biden's unfortunate, you know, record high egg prices this time last year. So I think, you know, folks this Easter had something to smile about there, but it's not over, and we're continuing to work hard to make sure that both profitability and affordability are part of the overall structure of the agricultural economy.
I'm going to flip it back to the farmer rancher side now and kind of ask the same question, but more in terms of what are you hearing from producers like the ones you've been visiting with in Nebraska and Iowa? And I know you mentioned a couple great stories earlier, but in general, when you're having these conversations, I know there's a fair amount of angst out there about certain input costs. You mentioned things like that and producer profitability. What are you hearing at the ground level when it comes to the farmer and rancher side of this conversation, Luke?
Since I was nominated for this role by President Trump, the number one comment I've heard from farmers and ranchers has been a lack of market access around the world. That was very clear, again, after 4 years of zero trade agreements under President Biden. Farmers want markets to sell their products into where they can get a fair price. And the reality is that President Trump has moved forward on agreements in countries representing more than 50% of the global GDP and more than 50% of the global mouths. The trade deficit is down 42%, agricultural trade deficit down 42% in our first year in office. And the reason for that is this new market access. So we're working hard to restructure and reorient the global trading lanes to benefit U.S. farmers and ranchers. It's called the America First Trade Policy, and that's what we're working hard every day to do, and that's what I've heard the most from producers as I've been visiting with them around the country.
All right. I appreciate your perspective on that, Luke. One other thing I did want to bring up and congratulate you on this. You've been nominated here just a few days ago by the United States to serve as Executive Director of the UN World Food Program. Talk about this nomination and what this could mean to have someone such as yourself, you know, at the helm of this program.
Well, first and foremost, you know, President Trump believes heartily in all of our farmers. And, you know, we just had a big ag celebration day at the White House a couple weeks ago. And, you know, we oftentimes hear us joke that we've got the deal maker in chief. So when the president called me on Monday and asked me to consider being the nominee for this capacity, it's pretty hard to say no to President Trump. He's quite persuasive, and he continues to be sort of that deal maker in chief. And really, it's a testament to Secretary Rollins as well and her big vision for what U.S. agriculture can and should be, which includes both feeding people commercially, providing necessary targeted food assistance around the world. And so it's a real honor to have the opportunity to be considered as the U.S. nominee for that particular capacity.
Well, Luke, again, congratulations on that nomination. As we close out our conversation today, anything final you would mention or reiterate to folks here today?
The 2026 focus for the Foreign Agricultural Service at U.S. Department of Agriculture that I oversee is turning market access into market share. That's the language we're using this year, market access into market share. We thank the president and our negotiating teams for how much market access they've created. And as always, we need farmers and farm groups to help us get in the market, build buyer-seller relationships, and turn that market access into market share so we can put dollars in farmers' pockets and bring that prosperity and that profitability equation back into balance.
Well, with that, USDA's Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs, Luke Lindberg. Always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks again for joining us on Agriculture of America, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate you.